Look for what's prosperous or healthy for your soul, and you can find them. Going to church is healthy for my soul. Taking time with my family or taking some solitude with God is healthy for my soul. Going to a small group or doing devotions, so healthy for my soul. Make sure that you have stuff in your life for your soul. What do you have in this week that you can say, this is for the sake of my soul?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Jesus once asked the question, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lost his own soul? Today, Pastor Wayne is going to take us through some things that are good and healthy for our soul. He'll also touch on some things that are harmful to it. In a moment, a message entitled, Connecting Everything to a Soul. But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope. Now, here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Connecting Everything to a Soul.
Would you be so kind as to take out your notes as we talk about connecting everything to a soul? And today, we're going to talk about restoring your soul. We all fumble, stumble, fail. How do you restore yourself? The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but what? Rises again. The key is rising again. And we're going to have an interesting walk through the scriptures. As you know, our small groups will be using the book Irresistible Church that was written not as a book to say an irresistible church is a church irresistible to men. No, it's to develop the church that's irresistible to heaven. A church where heaven looks down and says, I just can't help but bless that church. I just can't help but be a part of that church. And that's the irresistible church, a church irresistible to heaven. And these are some marks, and one of them is that this church connects everything to a soul. And what you'll talk about in your small groups will be just a little bit different. But today, let me come at it from a side door and talk about the importance of restoring your soul, because everything is connected to a soul. Let's read at the top of our notes, as we see here, Matthew 16 and verse 26. Would you read it out loud? Go. "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" You can see the priority of soul. Now, if you're a non-Christian, that could mean one thing. What profits a man if he has tons of possessions but misses his soul, has no eternity added in? But today I want to talk to the many of us who have come to know Christ. What would it mean? What profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What's more important than your soul? To you, I want to say that God is prioritizing the importance of a certain element in your life called your soul. Now, heart and soul is very, very close together. Your heart is your passion for something, but your soul is a little different. Your soul is that part of you that God reaches in order to affect your life, something that will happen in you to change your life. Now, they're very close together. Let's read what it says here in Proverbs 4:23. Would you read the next one? Go. "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." You ever lose your soul? You ever lose your soul for your family, your church, your calling, your ministry, your job, relationships? You ever lose your soul? I mean, you still go home, you still go to work, but your soul isn't there anymore. Your soul is absent, and you just find yourself going through the motions. What profits a man if he gains the whole world, but you just go through the motions? I just came back from Australia, and when I'm tired, I want to ride on the plane and use it to rest. And, I don't want people talking to me, because some people love to talk. So I want to sit down, and I want to have, like, nobody talking to me. And so I actually put in earplugs, and I let them stick out about this much, just so that people will know that, you know, I'm saying, don't talk to me. Well, I sat next to a guy that just talk. And so, he was talking to me, and I couldn't hear something, so I pulled that out of my ear, and I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "What do you do?" And I thought this would shut him up. I said, "I'm a preacher, praise God, glory to Jesus." And he said, "Really?" He said, "I used to go to church." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah, but I don't anymore." I said, "Really, what happened?" He said, "Well, I just found that I was just starting to go through the motions, just going through the motions." And I said, "You lost your soul." He said, "What?" "Yeah." He said, "You lost your soul. Church isn't the problem. It's that you have to restore your soul." Have you ever lost your soul? How are you going to do that? How are you going to restore it? Because you see, if you lose your soul and your soul is absent, you go through the paces and you have the illusion of worship, but worship doesn't affect you anymore. You look like you know what you're doing, but you don't. It's like antibiotics. When you first take antibiotics and you're susceptible to it, it's like, boom, this is a miracle drug. Wow, I feel so much better. But after a while, you keep taking it, it dulls your ability to respond to antibiotics, and pretty soon you're still taking them, but it doesn't help you that much. Can that happen in church? Bible's talking about restoring our soul. Otherwise, you can look like a Christian, you can act like a Christian, you can smell like a Christian, but you ain't. Reminds me of this pioneer guy who's going west, and he wanted to see a real true blue Indian, and like a scout, one that's really sharp. And he was going down the road, and sure enough, there was an Indian with his ear to the ground right in the middle of the road. And the Indian was saying, "Wagon full of supplies, 4 men, 4 horses. And the guy stopped and said, "Whoa, you can tell all of that from listening to the ground?" He said, "No, wagon run over me 2 minutes ago." looked like a scout, acted like a scout, but he was roadkill. You see, you can come and go through the motions, but if you've lost your soul and you haven't restored your soul, then you go through the motions and you go to church, but you stop growing in church. You get more knowledge, but no more wisdom. You get education, but there's no more revelation. It touches your heart. You have, everything is on self-automation, but there's no self-transformation. Let me ask you these questions. You say, well, how do I know if my soul is sort of, no pun intended, waning away? Well, let me ask you this. Do you trip over the same things you tripped over last year? Are you still wrestling with the same thoughts that captured your mind last year? Still drifting and still having that plague you like you had 6 months ago? Is it still there? Are you still being offended by the same things you were offended by last year? It's just second verse, same as the first. I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Are you struggling with it so that you still come to church and you look like and you act like and you smell like, but you still have not overcome, you're still unchanged, and something's taking place? You see, your soul is that element in you that allows God to reach you so that it actually converts what He's saying into a transformed life, where you really leave differently from when you came and you start to change from glory to glory. Your soul is the prerequisite to transformation. Otherwise, you can keep coming to church and you'll never be transformed. Pharisees were like that, weren't they? They went to church a lot, no transformation, no change, to the point where even when the Messiah came, they were blind to Him. What happened? They didn't allow God to restore this element that when He spoke, it would affect their life. Otherwise, we look like, act like, but nothing's changed. You got to hear this story. There's this Portuguese that he would go into this bar and he would order 3 beers all the time. He'd drink 1, 2, 3, and he'd order 3 more, 1, 2, 3, and he'd order 3 more, 1, 2, 3. And the bartender thought, why does he keep ordering 3 beers all the time? So he went over to the guy and he said, excuse me, why do you order 3 beers? He said, oh, it's for my brothers. I said, what do you mean? Oh, he said, you see, I have one brother moved to California. The other one went to Las Vegas. And said, when we split up and we promised each other that we would always order 2 extra beers so that whenever we drink for each other. That way it would keep the family bond. Bartender said, well, okay. So he kept doing that every day, 3 beers, 3 beers. Well, one Monday he comes in and he orders just 2 beers. Drinks 2, orders 2 more, drinks 2, orders 2 more, drinks 2. And the bartender thought, oh, one of his brothers must have died. Oh, poor thing. So he went over to the guy and he said, oh, man, oh, my condolences. Which brother died, the one in California or the one in Las Vegas? Man will say, oh, no, both are still alive and well. But I went to church on Sunday and I became a Christian, so I had to give up drinking. See, loving God with all your soul allows God to affect the way you live, not just the way you look. That's that part of you that has to be in good working order. Otherwise, God can talk to you, but it doesn't change you. You get more educated, you get more knowledgeable, you get more religious, maybe even more legalistic, but it doesn't change you. As I said, so you keep going to church, but you stopped growing in church a long time ago. So you just get more religious. And when you get more religious, you get more dangerous. We need God to restore our souls. I could tell you this story. When I was going to Bible college, I went to a Bible college named Eugene Bible College. And there was a guy there that was a classmate of mine, and he was different. Different. He actually needed medication. And he's just a strange, demented guy. But we used to play tricks on each other. His name was Mike Nichols. I call him Knuckles, because knucklehead. And so one day I was on the roof overlooking the parking lot, and he was down there, and I got a little squirt gun, and I so it just like misted him, you know? And he's looking around like, man, what is that? So I and it's like raining. He's going, whoa. And then he turned back around and I'm just laughing because he thinks it's raining. What is going on? Am I going crazy? He was. Am I going crazy? And so finally I just started laughing so hard. He looked up and he shook his fist at me. And now he's a guy for one-upsmanship, you know. So if I did that, he's going to come after me with like a fire hose. I knew it. So sure enough, about 2 hours later, unbeknownst to me, he's hiding around the corner. I come up the stairs and he has a 16-ounce tumbler full of water and he douses me with it and it drenches my books and my term papers and everything. I thought, you turkey, that's it, man. I'm putting you in a padded room. And so he's going out underneath. Now he runs downstairs and so he's getting in his car and I fill up a bucket of water. And when he goes by his car, I just douse him. He thought it was the antediluvian age with Noah's Ark, you know, or the splitting of the Red Sea, and because I just doused him. And he said, oh, I'm getting you back. Well, I run into my room and lock the door. Because, you see, I'm the resident assistant of the dorm, so I oversaw the dorm, so they gave me my own room. So I locked the door and said, yes, I got the last laugh. So I was there studying, and I hear this laughter just outside the door. It's like, ooh, it's very demonic. So I put my ear to the door. What is that? And then I realize, oh no. And I look down and my feet are soaking wet and there's water coming into my room. What is going on? And I open the door and he has a garden hose under my door. He was flooding me out. I thought, what are you doing? So I push him down and we both slip on the water in the hallway and we start fighting. Boom, it's a fisticuff starting. Bang, bang, bang. This is Bible college. And poo, 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 poo. And we're hitting and knocking each other into the next Sunday. And finally he gets up and he says a name to me that I can't repeat. Here in church, and he calls me and swears at me, and I respond with a very holy response. And then I say, you get out of here. And so it took me an hour or so to clean up my room. And so that night, I finally get to bed. I'm just steaming mad at him. And so I pull the covers over my body, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, I heard this knock on my door. I said, who is it?
It's Mike Nichols.
I said, go to bed. Who is it?
It's still Mike Nichols.
So I opened the door and I said, what do you want? And he's scratching his head like a chimpanzee, you know. I said, what do you want? And he said, God won't let me go to sleep. I said, good for you. Slam the door. And
I'm still here.
So I opened the door and I said, what do you want? And he said, God said I can't go to sleep until I came and asked for your forgiveness because what I said was really wrong. I said, you're forgiven. Now get out of here. And so he said, thank you so much. And he went back to his room. And now listen, I got in my bed. I pulled the covers over my shoulder like this and rolled over. And I mumbled to myself, why doesn't he just roll over and go to sleep? Now, when God speaks to you, he doesn't need to use language like we do that requires grammar, sentence structure. You see, God, when he communicates to you in a nanosecond, he can transfer a conversation to you. And you've had a conversation with God. It's just, boom, wow. And it's like God spoke to me when I pull the covers over my shoulders and I said, why doesn't he just roll over and go to sleep? God said to me, that's what you do, don't you, Wayne, when I talk to you. You just roll over and go to sleep. At least when I talk to Mike, it affects him so much that he does something with it. It affects him. You roll over and go to sleep. And oh, I thought, oh God, you're so right. It just affected me. It just my conscience was touched. And I was just, oh Lord, so sorry. And then God said to me, the harshest words I've ever had him say, he said, you need to be more like Mike. You see, that soul part of you, if it's in good working order, doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. It means, though, when God speaks to you, you got it. But you see, if your soul is absent, he can speak to you and speak to you and speak to you. You understand? And you just don't get it. That's why we come to church sometimes. We say, I'm not getting fed here anymore. No, feeding's coming. It's, where's your soul? We need God to restore our soul like it was in the beginning. And then we start growing again. There's an effervescence. There's that absorbency. And you begin to grow again. You say, Wayne, how do I do that? How do I get my soul in good working order? Really easy. Here's a couple of tips. Number one is, would you write down, focus on what will be healthy for your soul. Focus on what will be healthy for your soul. There's stuff that's unhealthy for your soul, and there's stuff that's healthy for your soul. Just like eating. Good stuff for you, bad stuff for you. Let's read what it says here in 3 John. It's a great scripture. Would you read it out loud? Go. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. Here it is. Just as your soul prospers. What is he saying? God is saying the way you will prosper is by increasing the health of your soul. As your soul prospers, I pray you will prosper as well. But what profits a man if you prosper and you lose your soul? Is there anything more important than your soul? You understand? So look for what's prosperous or healthy for your soul. And you can find them. Going to church is healthy for my soul. Taking time with my family or taking some solitude with God is healthy for my soul. Going to a small group or doing devotions, so healthy for my soul. Make sure that you have stuff in your life for your soul. Do you? What do you have in this week that you can say, this is for the sake of my soul? It'll do you well. This week, try to find some things that you can say, this is healthy for my soul. And share that in your small group. What would they be? And then not only that, would you also write, not, and conversely, not only what's healthy for your soul, but would you write down, identify what's what? Harmful for your soul. You need to identify that. 1 Peter 2:11 gives us one of those. Let's read it out loud. Go. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. Yeah, you're going to have thoughts come through your mind, fleshly lusts. Be careful. They're going to wage war against your soul. And at first, you might entertain them for 5 minutes. Catch yourself. And the next time those fleshly lusts come in your mind, stop it at 4 minutes. And then catch it sooner at 3. Pretty soon as it comes into your mind, you're saying, no, that's harmful for my soul. I'm just not going to do it. I can't. And you're starting to understand, is there anything more important than your soul? Because you see, if your soul is absent, you can keep coming to church, but you're not going to grow anymore. You're just going to get more legalistic and religious, because that reachable part of you that God can touch, and if he affects it, it changes you, it transforms you. It's called your soul. And if you keep that in good working order, then you can change from glory to glory. If not, you won't change. You'll grow old, but you won't grow up.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Connecting Everything to a Soul by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.